Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
Good morning. My name is Bobby. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get the privilege to preach the Word of God. We are now in a series. We're starting 1 John. It's called Walk, a sermon series in 1 John. And what we're going to do today is just very simple, kind of give a brief 30,000-foot view of the book, kind of just an overall idea with one strong application that kind of surmises, completes the whole book and the whole message of what John is trying to say. I have noticed that when I was younger, I cared about a lot that caused a lot of anxiety. Anyone? Like when you're younger, you just care about everything. Everything seems to mean a little bit more. And so you kind of wrap your hand around things and you're just kind of like, it kind of stresses you out. I care about what people think and I care about how my house looks. And you, like, you kind of get all this kind of like, ah. And the older you get, at least I have noticed, it seems that our priorities begin to filter. When we're young, we tend to worry about everything. But as you experience joys and sorrows and victories and losses, what's really important begins to be refined. And this is what we see with 1 John. Our author is likely the Apostle John. I say likely because he does not sign the letter, but the style and grammar use is so similar to the Gospel of John that most agree it's the Apostle whom Jesus loved. Now, he wrote this later in life as an old man, so you could almost say it's great grandpa John giving us a message to who he would say we are his children. We see all throughout the letter, dear children. And as a father of the faith, he's speaking to us. And so I think it's similar to when you sit down with an older, wiser person, they hand you, at least this is the way I picture it, scoots a black cup of coffee over to you, and because you are in the moment, you don't ask for cream or sugar, you just take it like it is. And he just says, I have some things to share with you. And that's what we see in 1 John. And so our job as a people is to just sit back and listen to the Apostle John and his age-old wisdom. As a young man when he came to Christ, most likely between the age of 16 and 18, he first started following Jesus. You have a man who has followed faithfully the will and way of God, not without mistake, but yet one of the three we see closest to Jesus. And now he's sharing with the church. Church history tells us that he was a pastor in Ephesus at the end of his years after his time exiled in Patmos. And the reason for the letter is that there was this kind of cultish kind of schism going on in the church called Gnosticism. And so you have this, and there's many views or many different kind of like areas of this. And we'll get deeper into that as we go through the book. But we see this kind of like this urgency to say, hey, like there's things that are coming in that are trying to rob you of your faith. Lies and diversions to the true faith of Christ. And so we see from the heart of a pastor, a very old wise pastor saying, this is what the Christian life looks like. This is what the Christian life looks like. Grandpa John sharing his heart to the family of faith. And the audience he writes to is just that. If you would, please turn to 1 John. And we're going to be kind of going all over. So 1 John is on page 1021 in the Pew Bibles. And we have the page number available. So you, if you don't know your way around the Bible, you always can go, okay, here's where it is. You don't have to go to the table of contents or anything like that. And what we see are, and also if you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home. That is our gift to you. Now, if you would, as you're turning there, if you would turn to Chapter 2, verse 21. Chapter 2, verse 21. You're going to hear this term a lot. He says, I write to you because you do, because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And so we see the audience, one, that it's two Christians. What he's saying is, he's like, I'm not saying this to you because you don't know the truth, but you do know the truth. It's not that you don't know it yet. And then we see right before that in verses 12 through 14, so not only is he writing to Christians, but he's writing to the family of faith. Chapter 2, verse 12, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then he repeats himself. And we see this all throughout Scripture, that Christians began to, from about the middle of Acts on, aren't referred to as people of the way necessarily or Christians, but brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers in Christ. And that's why we are a family who exists for people to find and follow Jesus. That's who we are, not because we just hope that we are, but because the Bible defines us as such. And so he speaks, so this, the whole audience that he's speaking to is Christians. And if you're here and you're exploring Christ and you're not a Christian, this is a fantastic book for you to be able to explore with so that you can count the cost of what it means to actually be a Christian. And then as a side note, if you have friends that are kind of like on the fringe of Christianity and they're trying to witness to you, you can say, hey, the Bible says this and you're supposed to look like this and you're not. You can call them out. You have my permission. Now, his purpose he outlines in the writing himself, and we see a tie to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, he writes this in chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And if you've been with us for a while, you know we walked for about two and a half years through the Gospel of John, through COVID and the whole nine. And we saw continually that the reason why he was writing the Gospel of John is for those that didn't know Jesus, that those that were exploring the claims of Christ, he wrote a written account that you could believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so our series was called Believing Life, that we would know the true Christ and that by believing in him, we would have life in his name. Now, if you would, please turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. A few pages over, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. And he writes towards the end of this letter, this writing, he says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. Do you see the connection? The Gospel of John was so that you may believe. But if you already are a believer, what does it look like to live the Christian faith? Like, what does it smell like, feel like? How are we supposed to live? These kind of things he begins to go through systematically, addressing schisms that are kind of coming from the outside. But in the meantime, in the process, he writes us this beautiful letter saying, this is what it looks like to mature as a Christian. This is what it looks like to mature as a Christian, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, I've had the opportunity as a pastor to do funerals. It's one of the harder things at times to do a funeral. I have a suit, and this was not a quote from me. This is a quote from a pastor that was older and wiser than me. When I first became a pastor, he says, do you have a marry and bury them suit? It's not that funny, no? I thought it was pretty good. Now, in the funerals that I've done, there's been multiple times where I'm just not sure. Like, I don't know if they go to heaven, went to heaven. I've had people that are close to me that I'm not sure. My biological father being one of them. Like, I'm not sure, and it's kind of a roll of the dice. It's 60-40 or 50-50. Why do I say that? Because even though at times they may have proclaimed a life in Christ, their life did not reflect what a life in Christ is. And so there was a little question mark about where they ended up in eternity. Now, what the Apostle Paul is, or Apostle John is writing here is this, that you may know. You see, on the other side of that coin, when I've done a funeral and you just know they're in heaven, like there's just no doubt. Like there's no like concern whatsoever. You are 100% sure that this person is sitting with Jesus. How does it not change your funeral? It's called a celebration of life, amen. People are just like, yeah, we're crying, we're mourning the loss, but man, we're celebrating the life. And the Apostle John is going, hey, you want that? Live this way. You want to know you have eternal life? You want the people around you to know that you have eternal life? Then this is what that life looks like. That you may know that you have eternal life. And it brings about one of the points we'll come up with later, the idea of assurance of salvation. Now, in all these things, he hangs his hat on two major truths about God. Now, there's other things in this book that we learn about God, but there's two major things that he kind of goes, these are the truths in which all this other stuff begins to flow. The first one is this, that God is light. Look at 1 John 1:5. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him, being Jesus, and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, if you would, flip on over to chapter 4, verse 8, and get you guys used to turning in your Bibles. So not only do we see that God is light, and this is, before we move on to this, I also want to show you that like the footsteps in this slide right here, and this was intentional, they're above God is love because it is foundational. In other words, the Christian life isn't just try harder, do better. The Christian life is based on truths about who God is and what he has done. And so we're going to see things like so go back to the other one, John, one more back, that God is light. And so it's foundational because he's going to challenge us in a little bit as we walk through this letter that if God is light, therefore you should be what? Walking in the light. So it's not, you need to walk in the light. It's not an imperative at all. In fact, it's a truth that he says. It's just so clear and clean. God is light. You are a child of God. Therefore, you're going to be walking in the light. Oh, can I get to that afterwards, David? All right, thanks, buddy. And the next thing we see, chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. Verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. And then look at chapter 4, verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And so we see these foundational truths that God is light and God is love. And he begins to build all of his statements, all of these truths about who we are as Christians on these ideas. And what we're going to see all throughout the book is that it's not as congruent as a normal letter. It doesn't have an even flow. In fact, most scholars defined the structure of 1 John as like a spiral. So picture, I almost brought it. I got this huge slinky at home. So picture if I have this huge slinky, right? And then I let it go, it falls down, right? You're going to see themes kind of like God is love, God is light. And you're going to see other themes throughout. And they're spirals that as he begins to develop what it looks like to know that we can have eternal life and to walk as we are called, that we're going to see these things begin to reveal themselves over and over and over again. And then there's four times where he talks about what it looks like to walk like Christ, for what it looks like to walk like Christ. Please turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John 2, 6. Whoever says he abides in him, now who's the him there? Jesus, in case you weren't sure, whoever says he abides in Jesus, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And so that's why I had the footprints up there. We see how Christ walks, and then we begin to follow in his steps. And the Apostle John begins to write, this is where he stepped, and this is why he stepped, and gives us a clear path for us to follow him. And there's six things that spiral throughout the letter. We've seen the first two, that there's light and there's love that comes from God. And then he says there's four ways to walk, four major themes that kind of spiral down. The first one is this, 1 John 1:4. And you'll see it as he says, "This I write these things to you." Look at chapter 1, verse 4. "And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." What's interesting, though, is that the word "are" there, he isn't referring to, some of your versions are going to say, that your joy may be complete. Because the word "are" there is all of our. So his and ours. And so the first thing we see is joy. Who likes joy? Okay, some of you. For the rest of you, I'm just praying for you. Just pray that you would someday remember that you can smile because you have the grace of Christ. But like, that's cool. Like, because there's joy involved in Christ, and we'll explore that throughout this writing. And so the first step we see to step in the way of Christ is to have joy. Why? We sang about it. Man, that song impacted me. "Oh, sin at my door, sin just right there. Nevertheless, I will proclaim it is well with my soul." Why? Because Christ has died and taken the penalty for my sin. It is well with my soul. Therefore, I can have joy. Such joy. It doesn't matter what comes at me. My sins are forgiven and my God loves me. If God is for me, who could be against me? And we are able to have joy in our salvation and our placement. And our identity in Christ. Please turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He goes on to say, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you." Again, you're going to see this throughout. "I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin," oh, this is such good news, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." And so the next thing we see is holiness. And throughout this, we're going to redefine what holiness is. Because I think some of us think that, like, holiness is kind of like this. Kind of like tight, right? Like this idea of, like, strictness and, like, but it's not. He defines, the first John defines holiness, a removal or a way in living in which sin is not as prevalent as it used to be. Being set apart. And so we see joy and holiness. Turn to 1 John 2:26. The next "I'm writing these things" is this. Chapter 2, verse 26. "But I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." And so what he's going to do is he's going to say, you need to walk in truth, or not you need to, but the way to walk in Christ is in truth. Is in truth. And so the first step, joy. The second step, holiness. The third step, truth. And we're going to see that again spiral throughout the entire letter. And then the last one we've already looked at, 1 John 5:13, a few pages over, says this, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And so we have assurance. We have assurance. How do we have assurance? Because we know that God is love and God is light. And he's given us the ability through his son, Jesus, to give us joy, an ability to walk in holiness, an ability to know and walk and perceive truth so that therefore we can know that we have eternal life. To walk as Jesus walked. Now, this gives us freedom. And I believe the main idea, to love one another. To love one another. All these things so that we can love one another. And we see great grandpa John, the Apostle John, in his old days, church history would say that he lived in Ephesus and he was such an old man after being boiled in oil and yet coming out like this. The story goes that he was unharmed by it, but then he was exiled on the island of Patmos, and then now he's a really, really old man, so old that he couldn't even get up. And listen to this story. This is Jerome's commentary on Galatians 6:10. He says this: "The blessed John the Evangelist lived in Ephesus until extreme old age. His disciples could barely carry him to church, and he could not muster the voice to speak many words. During individual gatherings, he usually said nothing but, 'Little children, love one another.'" Little children, love one another. I love this. "The disciples and brothers in attendance, annoyed because they always heard the same words, finally said, 'Teacher, why do you always say this?' Ah, youthful zeal. He replied with a line worthy of John: 'Because it is the Lord's commandment, and if it alone is kept, it is sufficient.'" All of it. God is light. God is love. The ability to walk in joy and holiness and truth, being assured of our salvation. You see, we now then, with all of that, have the freedom to love one another. Amen? And so, that being the case, your application is very simple. Any guesses? Love one another. Children, as John would say, little children, love one another. May the God of light and love fill you with his Spirit so intensely that you would love the unlovable. That you would love one another just as our Lord loves us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Now, here's your application before you sit down. That last slide, John, love one another. Before you leave, I shortened the sermon just for this. Find someone around you and figure out how can you love them. Like, honestly, like, ask them what their needs are. Like, don't just leave and just check this. Yeah, went to church, check. But stick around, find someone and pray for them, love on them. May we be the family of God and walk with the assurance of Christ that we may love one another. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.